God said there is so much wickedness in those nations, we've got to put a stop to it. And God decided that he was going to preach to these people, and if they didn't repent, he was going to find a way to put a stop to it. The minor prophets are not something I've ever preached on before, so this is going to be challenging for me, but it's also going to be exciting for me, because when you get to learn and deal with things that are new to you, that's when you really start to grow. Amen? And the minor prophets were just something I've just been wanting to do and wanting to do. But here's the thing. Growing up, every time we got to the minor prophets, I used to think, well, those guys are minor prophets, so they're not very important. Amen? If they were important, they would be in the big leagues with the major prophets, right? But no, that's not what the minor prophets are about. The minor prophets are not about that at all. But the thing of it is I got to thinking about that, and when I was younger, I had this picture of a prophet. Does anybody have a picture of a prophet? If you hear the words prophet, do you have a picture in mind of what it is? Is it maybe like Gandalf, you know? I know for me, every time I pictured a prophet, you know, you're reading through there, and for me, my mind only works one way. I have to be visual. I can read the words, but I've got to put the words into a picture. So when a prophet comes in the room, the first thing that I think of is this guy, and he's got to have a beard. Not a Shaq beard that looks cool, okay? It's got to be a beard that's kind of scraggly and kind of dirty, right? And he's got a cloak on. Every prophet has to have a cloak on, right? And he has to have a stick. And it's not a pretty stick, it's a gnarly stick, right? And he walks around with it, and he walks real slow. And in my mind, I thought this prophet would come around, and he would come up to me, and he would say, one day you're going to marry the girl of your dreams. Or he would say something like, don't go to school today. There will be a test. And I wanted so bad to have one of those prophets in my life. And even today, I know people are still looking for that kind of a prophet. As a matter of fact, the psychic hotlines for a while was a big thing, made millions of dollars, where people were calling and getting their fortune told. And that's kind of how I pictured a prophet. And in the days of the kings of Israel, there were prophets. There were lots of prophets. As a matter of fact, there were so many prophets that you couldn't turn the corner without running into a prophet somewhere. But while they claimed to be prophets, there were only a few of them that were really God's prophets. If you got your lesson notes, you can look down here. You can always find a preacher to preach what you want to hear, and that is true even in those days. You know, today you can pretty much turn on the radio and you can hear anything you want to hear. As a matter of fact, some people don't want to hear God's word. They want to hear what they want to hear. And we have a lot of people in the world today that are saying that God's truth, his word, is not really, it doesn't really mean what it says. It can mean whatever we want it to do. And as the scripture was read to you, from the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers that say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But keep your head in all situations. This is nothing new. If you've got your sermon notes, you'll see 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 36. I didn't take the time to put all that scripture in there, because we would have been here until 1 o'clock, and we've got things to do today. Amen? So what I did is I'm just going to tell you the story. The kingdom was divided, and there was a guy by the name of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he went down and got the king of Israel, and he says, you know, will you go with me and fight this battle that I'm getting ready to go fight? And Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel. He says, I am as you are, and my people as your people, my horses as your horses, But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. And that was a good thing to do, because whenever you're getting ready to go into battle, you want a prophet of God to tell you what's going on, what's going to happen there. So Jehoshaphat says, this is what I want you to do. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men. And he asked them this question, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give you the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? And the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. And then it says, but always bad. He is Micaiah, and the king should not say such a thing. Jehoshaphat replied, so the king called Israel. The king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring me Micaiah at once. And they were all dressed in their royal robes, and they had all these prophets around them. And one of the prophets, this is what prophets do in those days, he got a helmet and he put some horns on it, and he came to the king and he says, this is what is going to happen. When you go to battle, you're going to be like a bull and go run over your enemies. And it goes on and on to say that 400 prophets are saying you're going to win, and they're all trying to outdo each other, and they're all trying to get the king's attention. And then Micaiah comes along and it says, as surely as the Lord against Ramoth Gilead or not, answer prophesies the Lord sitting on his tack, Ramoth Gilead, and going there to his death. One suggested this, and another suggested that, and finally the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all of his prophets. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. And now the Lord put out deceiving spirits in the mouths of all of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster on you. Then Zedekiah went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you, he asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go out and hide in an inner room. And the king of Israel ordered then Micaiah and sent her until I returned safely. And Micaiah's last words in the scriptures, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. And then he added, mark my words, all you people. This is an extreme example of what it was like to be a prophet in those days. You see, sometimes when we think about these biblical characters, and you know, of course, when you're thinking about the minor prophets, if you're a really good Christian, that's where you go and you get your name for your children. You go to the minor prophets, you get one of those cool names, and that's where you name your kids. But really, the truth of the matter is, a minor prophet or any of the prophets of that day were not very well liked. They were not held in high esteem. They were not people that you would go to and say, oh, there's a prophet, let's hang out with him. As a matter of fact, as we go through the minor prophets, you're going to see these guys had a hard time. This guy gets slapped for telling the truth, and then he gets put in prison and said, don't only give him bread and water. Don't even treat him nicely. And this guy was known to be a prophet of God. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because of the fact that when we think of these prophets, we think, oh, these are great holy men. They had a good life. They were close to God and all that. These guys spoke the word of God to the people of Israel, and they had a horrible, horrible life. So many times when it comes to Christianity, we want the perfect life. We want everything to be the way we think it ought to be. But I'm here to tell you that if you are a man or a woman of God, your life is going to have problems. When I was growing up, as most of you know, I was a preacher's kid. I didn't choose to be a preacher's kid. As a matter of fact, if I had to choose, I would have chosen one of my rich friend's parents as to being my parents. Because of what was going on in the time I was growing up, my family decided to put us in a private school. My mom was the church secretary, or not the church, the school secretary. And because of that, we got to go there for free. That's the only way we could afford it. And we walked into school, and we had on our secondhand clothing. We had on just the cheapest stuff you could buy. And then everybody else in school had jeans with their names on them. You remember that way back when, where you had to have a pair of jeans that had somebody else's name on it? And then on top of all that, all those people, they got to wear Converse tennis shoes. And we wore Kmart specials. So I didn't want to be a preacher's kid. And then, you know, to make matters worse, we didn't dress like everybody else, but on matters worse is everybody in school knew that my dad was a preacher. And because of that, I had to be either really, really good, which I'm not good at, or really, really bad, which I did pretty well at that. And I did it so well because not only was I really bad, but I didn't get caught much. And so I had to live in this world between trying to hang out with the world and be like them and act like them and do things to get their favor. But at the same time, my dad beat me when I did things wrong. So I was always stuck. And I was a little embarrassed. And I didn't want to talk about truth because of the way that people looked at me. Now, it was wrong. I was a kid. I repented. I repented because look at what I'm doing now. But can you imagine living in a world where you're hated, you're despised? And as we go through these prophets, you're going to see that God put them to the test over and over again in order to speak His word. Now, there's some things you need to know about the prophets. The first thing you need to know is a prophet is one who speaks for someone else. A lot of times we think that prophet is somebody that knows the future, knows everything that's going on, but a prophet in those days is someone who speaks for someone else. God defined the term of prophet, and you could see here in Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, when the Lord said to Moses, "See how I've made you like a god to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet." Underline those words, because Aaron is going to be Moses' prophet. That's the way that works. Sometimes I will call Sandy, and I'll say, "Sandy, can you call John Shackelford and get him to do this and so forth?" Guess what? Sandy becomes my prophet. And when I had kids, I had two sons, and one of them would be inside, and I would say, "Go tell your brother it's time for dinner. He needs to wash up and get ready for dinner." And so my son would be my prophet going to the other one. It's very simple. It's someone who speaks for someone else. And he says, "Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of this country." Well, the second thing you need to know is that minor prophets are just shorter books, not less important. I did some research on this because I wondered, at what point in time did the minor prophets become minor prophets? At what point in time did someone say, "All right, these are the four major prophets and these are the 12 minor prophets"? When did that happen? And I had to go all the way back to the time of St. Augustine, where he was organizing the Bible, and that's how it came up with that. St. Augustine decided that these guys were going to be minor prophets, not because they were less important, just because they were shorter books. So when you read minor prophets, don't get the idea that these things are not important. Now, one of the things I want you to understand, why did they have these prophets? Why didn't they just pick up their Bible and read it like we do today? Well, the reason why is they didn't have a Bible in those days. The word of the Lord came down to Moses. He gave them their commands and stuff like that. But as things changed, as society changed, God's word needed to be told so that these people would know what to do. God needed someone to speak in his behalf. He had given them the law, but he had to have somebody speak in his behalf. And so he put these men on this earth to speak in his behalf. And he rained judgment down on the people that were that God had the prophets preach to. And a lot of times when I'm reading this, I hear people say to me, Neil, why in the world was God so mean in the Old Testament? You know, what happened to God that, you know, he killed off people. He condemned people. He brought fire down on people. How in the world would God do something like that? You know, you're talking about he gave his only son to die on the cross for us. Why in the world would he kill off a group of people? Well, you need to understand in those days, things had gotten so bad. You know, we think that in this nation, abortion is a horrible thing. And it is. We'd have his hands out like this. And they would make those hands of bronze, and they were like big pans sitting out like this. And they would build fires underneath those pans. And what they would do is they'd get those pans so that they were glowing red hot. And the people who wanted to show that they were truly committed to that God would take their own children and lay them on the hands of that idol and watch them be scalded to death from the hot metal. And God said, there is so much wickedness in those nations, we've got to put a stop to it. And God decided that he was going to preach to these people, and if they didn't repent, he was going to find a way to put a stop to it. Look at what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 14 through 22. The nations you will dispose, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you ask of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of our Lord God nor see his great fire anymore or we will die. This was when Moses went up on the mountain and he came down and they're like, we don't want to even hear his voice anymore. We're going to die. Hey, this is just too much for us. You go and go up there and tell us what he says and come back and tell us. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. And I myself will call account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But the prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourself, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is the message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be alarmed. Well, as we go into this, there's some things that I want you to realize and some things that I want you to know as we get into this series. And I have so much more that I am going to be telling you over the next several weeks as we get into these minor prophets. But there's three things that I want you to know. Old Testament prophets were preachers who said what God told them to say. Old Testament prophets were preachers who said what God told them to say. And so there was just kind of like, you can say today that I am a prophet when I speak through God's word. I am not prophesying anything, but I am speaking what God has told me to speak through his word. The second thing I want you to know is motivating in the present. They were motivating in the present more than they were predicting the future. They were motivating in the present more than predicting the future. One of the things that I am seeing in the world today, and especially in some of the mainstream religious radio stations, is the number of people who want to talk about last days. As a matter of fact, it's a very interesting thing. I cannot tell you the number of people that I have baptized over the years that have gotten so caught up in the last days and studying the last days and wanting to debate the last days and all those things. Let me just break it down for you. We don't know when the last days come. We're in the last. You're laughing. Kissinger preachers out there today that are saying the same thing. But the bottom line is this: those preachers don't know. And here's the second part. You can study your head off, and you're still not going to know. Only God knows. But here's the other side of it. Be ready. Be ready. Because you are living in the last days. And every day that goes by means that we're one step closer to the last day. So, they were motivating in the present more than they were predicting the future, and they were more concerned about revealing God than future events. They were more concerned about revealing God than future events. And I want you to get that, because everything that is being said today should be more about revealing God than what's going to happen in the future. How many of you in here would like to know what your future's like? I would. I mean, I don't know that I have that many more years, but man, it would be nice to know the day I'm going to die. Wouldn't it be nice? Maybe not. Maybe it should be a surprise. Wouldn't it be nice to know if Nancy was going to stick around for another 20 years? I think that would be good to know. Wouldn't it be nice to know that your kids are going to take care of you when you're old? Wouldn't some of that, all I want really is, I'd like to know what the stock market's going to be like next week. One and done. If I had that, man, I would be golden. I would bet the house on it. But we don't know. God doesn't give us that. Because God's not here to tell you about your future. He's here to be your future. And you need to remember that. And the messages that are going to come out of this series of lessons are going to be so much in tune with what's going on in the world today and what's going on with you. Now, I put in your notes so if you can have historical background, you can see the timeline of when these prophets lived and what was going on. Most of you are like me. You got out of school. You don't want a history lesson, so I'm not going to give you one. But if you're interested in that, they're in your notes. But here's the thing. When I was younger and I would read through the minor prophets, I stayed confused. Anybody else like that? Anybody read through the minor prophets? I'm the only one in here that read through the minor prophets and got confused. There's a few of us in here. The rest of you have not read the minor prophets, obviously. Because I can tell you, if you're not confused by the minor prophets, we need to speak after church, because there's things I want to know that I don't know. But the minor prophets are kind of confusing. But one of the things that I learned recently from the Pomerankes, Neil and Carrie Pomeranke did this amazing thing. They found this video thing called the Bible Project. And you can look on the very back of your notes there, and it's got there the Bible Project there. But what this thing is it's made for everybody. And so when you're reading a book of the Bible, you can go to the Bible Project. It's got the thing there, and they have a cartoon. And they explain the book of the Bible and while they're drawing. So it's a visual thing, which is something good for me because I learn visually. And it's an auditory thing, so I can listen at the same time. And you can get an overview of each one of the minor prophets. I almost in here offered $50 to anybody who can name all 12 prophets right now. But I figured that I needed my $50 if there was somebody here that could do it. Because there's bound to be somebody. Jan Blackwell could probably do it. At least I know his wife could. But here's the thing. What I want you to do is, if you read the books of the minor prophets as we're going through it next week, we're going to be talking about Hosea, and man, that is an interesting story right there. I still can't wrap my head around that. In case you don't know who Hosea is this guy God told him to marry a prostitute. That's a little weird, isn't it? He says, you're going to marry this prostitute? Not only are you going to marry this prostitute, but she's going to go around with other men and have children with other men. And then I want you to go and I want you to buy her back. What? And I'm doing this, why, God? Because I want Israel to know how much I love them. Why me? You know, Sally's a really good girl next door. I'd like to marry her. God says, no, no, no. You're going to marry the prostitute. Anybody know what the name of the prostitute was? Gomer. Who would marry a woman named Gomer anyway? But if you're not familiar with the book, read the book this week. If you say, well, Neil, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I'd make, go to the Bible Project, watch the video. And if it doesn't make sense after that, come to church next week, and I'll get you even more confused. But every message that God spoke through the prophets of old are messages we can use today. Now, we come together on Sunday morning not to hear a sermon, although that's a part of what we do. We come together on Sunday morning to worship. Jason, great job today. If y'all don't know it, it's Jason's birthday, so he got to pick the songs today. Y'all are clapping, but as Jason said, I always pick the songs. What's new? I just gave him permission today. But we come together and worship. I got to tell you, the singing to me is the best part of worship. Well, no, it's not. The best part of worship is being with you. It's communing with God. It's taking that moment where we partake of communion together. It's the thoughts. It's the prayers. It's the recognizing God as God. All my life, as I was growing up, I thought that I am the story, and God is a part of it. But what I've recognized, and especially more as of late, that I am only a part of God's story. And the only way that I can be a part of God's story is by living my life so that I can bring Him glory. And if you worship today, if you took time out to recognize who God is and see God for who He is and His holiness and His awesome power and the love that He had for you when He gave His Son on the cross, the plans that He has for you, if you've recognized that, then you've worshiped. And if you want to know if you truly worshiped, you won't leave here the same way you came in. And so today, as part of our tradition of singing an invitation song, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, will you do so as we stand and sing?